Lord, we just thank you this morning that you are all that we need. Lord, that you are everything, Lord. You are our Savior, our Lord this morning. Lord, the one who come to redeem us, Lord, to buy us back from the bondage of sin. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would just work in a way this morning, Lord, that we could not even imagine. Lord, that he would just have rule and reign over all of our lives. Lord, and we love you and we thank you for what you have done, Lord, and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated this morning. I pray that you've had a good week. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we're still on the series, A Church in Crisis. And that's what the Corinthian church was in. They were in crisis, and they were in crisis on a daily basis. It's because of the world that was around them was trying to penetrate the church and trying to get a toehold, as we would say, within the church. Folks, and that's what we still deal with, that same problem today within our church in the United States and across the world, that the world is trying to get a toehold. The church is trying to get in to our churches. And as we look at this and we think about, you know, this, there's things that we can do to help to be the Christian, be the person that we need to be. And at this point in time, there was the Corinthian church, they had written to Paul and was asking him a question about eating meat that had been offered to idols. And Paul was answering that question within this chapter. And it's something that we can take. We don't really think about, you know, well, we don't eat meat that is offered to idols, but it may be other things within our lives that some others are struggling with that we don't struggle with, but they're weak in, so we need to make sure that we love them and we help guide them through them struggles that they have within our lives. It is part of our responsibility as being that someone who disciples those around us, not ridicules, not just tell them that they're wrong. It's things that we need to grow in God's word with. And we've talked about in the past, you know, that we have a lot of church members throughout the world that are an inch deep and a mile wide in their theology. And God wants us to get deep in our theology. He wants us to make sure that we know Jesus Christ, that we know what his word says, and we don't try to get into a position where we're judging others whenever God is not judging them. And we want to look and make sure that we are living in a way that is according to God's word, not according to what we think, what we have emotions on. Because some people have strong emotions on subjects that really are just tradition and they're not biblical. And folks, and you know, we get people, they get a lot of emotions whenever I even say that statement. You know, especially us in the Baptist, well, we love tradition. And there's not anything wrong with tradition that goes along with God's word. It's whenever we start making our own traditions, then we start sounding like what? The Pharisees. What did they do? They made law upon law upon law so that they would not come back and break the law. And they required others to do that also. Now, if you want to make law upon law upon law and you want to follow that, that is fine and dandy. But don't look at others trying to make them do the same. We need to follow God's word. And we need to hold it at high esteem, not our traditions. Not our are things in our churches and in our lives where we say, well, that's, you know, that's just a sin. You know, that's a sin. And but God's word doesn't say that. And there are some areas that within our life that, you know, that are kind of gray areas, you know, that the Bible don't say anything about it, you know, but the church does. And one of them is, and don't get it wrong, because I don't do it and I don't condone it and I don't like it, but drinking. The Bible does not say anything about drinking. The Bible says about drunkenness. But we also got to look at this example that he gives here. If you cause a brother to stumble because of your actions, then you are guilty. So we have to look at what kind of example am I leaving or living in my life that would cause someone else to stumble in their faith. Because the thing with alcohol is that God's word speaks against alcohol, strong drink, it's a mocker, it's all these things. So I think that we should stay completely away from it. What do I think that we should stay completely away from it? Do others think that way? No, they do not. But you are leading in your life as an example to others. And that's something that we have to look at. And you never know, because you know what runs in my mama's side of the family? Alcoholism. You know how many drinks it would take? Just one. So I stay away from it. I don't do it anyway, because God's word tells me that I'm not supposed to. But it can lead to things, and we see the effects of alcohol within our country, within our world, of how broken homes happen because of alcohol. So we stay away from alcohol, or I stay away from alcohol, my family stays away from alcohol because of that. So am I telling you it's all right to drink? Nope, I'm not saying that. That's something that's between you and the Lord that you're going to have to figure out. When you're digging into God's word and you're looking deep down into God's word and you are talking to the Lord, praying, conversating with Him about these situations, and alcohol is just one of them. There is many situations, and we look at them and we think, Lord, what do you have me to do? And we pray about it. It's not just, well, that's what I want to do. That's not how God calls us to act as Christians. We want to live a life, and we brought this passage up yesterday, I believe it was in 1 Peter, might have been in 2 Peter, you know, where he talks about, be holy, for I am holy. He calls us to be different than the world that is around us. But in this passage, he's talking to them about eating meat that has been sacrificed to idols. But that is just an avenue to a conversation that he is giving here about treating others rightly. And he starts off in verse 1 of chapter 8. He says, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. If anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, little g gods, make sure you see that, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods, little g, and many lords. Yet for us there is one God, capital G. And that's one of my particulars and one of my things whenever I'm reading something online and someone referenced God as a little g God, that gets all over me. Because my God is not a little g God. My God is a big God. Because he is the one and the only God. So just a tidbit. So if you're sending me a text, don't put little g God in there. Now see, I lost my place. Where I was at? Oh, here we go. And there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, and I'm a little bit back a little bit, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, for us there is one God, the Father, of whom all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is nothing in everyone, and there is, I'm about to slow down. Therefore, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with conscience, of the idol, until now eat, it is a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not command us to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, or if we do not eat, we are the worse. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours because of stumbling block or becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom God died. But when you thus sin against the brethren, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, for your love and your mercy, Lord. I just ask that your word would just go out, Lord, even in my stumbling this morning, Lord, that you would just let your word prosper, Lord. It go out to accomplish what you have for it to accomplish this morning, Lord, in our lives. Lord, we just love you and we thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We need to understand, the differences within our life. And that's what we have verses 1 through 3, talks about, recognizing varied spiritual maturities that we have within our life. All of us are on different planes of where our spiritual maturity is. Some people are more mature than others, and I'm not talking about their maturity, intellectual maturity. I'm talking about their spiritual maturity of where they are and how they look at God's word and how much they know and understand and how deep they are in God's word. And this can come from different backgrounds and different experiences, because some of us may have been raised in church our whole life. And we've heard the gospel, we've heard the message of Jesus Christ numerous times. We've heard the teaching of God's word numerous times throughout our lives. And there's others that are in here that may not have been raised in church that do not know these things. They don't know our churchy words, like sanctification, justification, and propitiation. They don't know these words and what these words mean, but they know they love Jesus. And they know that Jesus died for them on the cross. So we all have different backgrounds. We all have different experiences within our life. So don't look at someone who does not have the experience that you have, because you were raised in church your whole life. Don't look at them as something less than what you are, because that does not make you saved or unsaved because you've been raised in church. The only way that you are saved is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we all can grow in Him and in His knowledge. And sometimes people that know more can really get in trouble because they overthink things. How does it tell us that we are to come to Christ? With a childlike faith. Man, believe in Christ. Don't try to analyze everything to death and say, well, you know, the deep things of God are down here. You know, you have to go to seminary, or you have to go to Princeton University to figure out these deep things of God. No, they're right there in His Word. And we have to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help guide us and direct us within our lives. Because I know people that were not raised in church that know a lot about God's Word. Why? Not because they hear it every day or they've heard it every Sunday since they were in their mother's womb. It's because they have gotten into God's Word and read it. So if all the spirituality that you get is once a week, and it's because I stand up here and I preach, or you have heard that, you know, since you've grown up, you're in trouble. You have to get into God's Word. And you have to study if you want to mature and have knowledge and understanding within God's Word. But don't look at someone because they were raised in church and think that they know more about God's Word than you do, when you have been in God's Word and you have studied God's Word and you have spoken with the Lord each and every day, and you have absorbed it and you are living by it. There's a difference between being raised in church and being in Christ. Because you can be in this church and not be in Christ. You can be in this church and be lost and dying and going to hell because you're not in Christ. Because you know things don't mean that you know Christ. So don't look at other people, you know, that may be stumbling within their life over certain theologies or certain situations that they have, you know, about things that don't matter to a hill of beans to salvation. Now, if I come to someone and their salvation, their gospel is wrong, then that is a different thing than eating meat from idols. If you think that you're saved some other way than just the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, then I'm going to talk to you about that in a loving manner and show you what God's Word says about how you are saved. Because I don't want someone to live in a false reality of salvation in their life. Do you know Him? Well, I've been good all my life, brother. I went to church all my life. You know, I walked the aisle, and you know, I was baptized, and you know, I'm saved. That does not save you. What saves you is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you loving Him and you having a relationship and a communion with Him on a daily basis. There are so many people that on that day that the Lord returns, that and He takes His church, and people are going to be sitting behind saying, what happened? Because they didn't know the Lord. They knew a lot about Him. but they didn't know him. You may know a lot about LeBron James. Man, you can read and you can study his statistics. You can study his background. You can study all of these things about him. Man, and you know everything about LeBron James. You know everything about him. But you don't know him. You don't know him personally. You don't know him in a deep, intimate way. See, there's a difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone. We need to know Jesus. That is the first and foremost thing within our lives, because we all have these different value or different levels of knowledge and understanding of the Lord. We need to know the difference about who is in Christ and who just knows a lot about Christ. Usually the ones who have been in church all their life know a lot about Christ. But do they know him in that intimate way? And I would ask you today, do you know him? Not that you know a lot about him, but do you know him? In a special way. In the intimate way. That you commune with him, you communicate with him on a daily basis, that you know him. And that you know the difference in the two. Is it great to know him and to know a lot about him? Yes, it's great. But don't just know a lot about him. Know him as your Lord and your Savior. And whenever you know him as your Lord and your Savior, it's going to change your life. It's going to make a difference in how you interact with people around you. And that's what this is talking about. You know, whenever Paul was telling them that whenever you know Christ, then it's going to change how you treat people. And you're not going to want people to stumble and fall. You're going to want people to stand tall and to learn more and more about Christ. And in the next section, that verses 1 through 3, he emphasizes love over knowledge. And that's kind of where it all kind of goes here, is love over knowledge. Folks, we need to put love over knowledge. We might know a lot, and we might be stuck upon ourselves because we know a lot, and we don't love. We go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, or go forward a little bit to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, if you have all of these things, but without love, it's nothing. You have to have the love of Jesus Christ over knowledge. Don't let your knowledge overload you, because love is what is the most important thing to Christ and to others around you. He wants you to love people. Knowledge can lead to pride, but love builds up. Well, I know more than so-and-so. Well, I've got a doctorate degree, or I've got a master's degree, or I've got this, or I've got that. Man, I preached at, you know, First Baptist Dallas with Jeffers, and I've done all of these things. And we look and we get prideful. And whenever the Lord says, we just need to love. If we want to build our community, build up Bearden, Arkansas, we need to love one another. Not let people know how much we know. Because what does that say? People really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. They want you to love them. And that's what we need to do on a daily basis, is to love one another. And he says in verse 1, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, But love edifies. It builds up. We don't want to be puffed up, folks. That's not the way Christ is. And like I said, we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Just read it. It's not about being puffed up, folks. It's about being edified. It's about growing in our knowledge with Him. In verse 2 it says, and if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by Him. Folks, it's saying, you know, that we, you know, if we think we know something, we really don't know nothing. If you think, if you have worldly wisdom and you think you know everything in the world, God says the foolish things of this world is the ones that make sense. The foolish things. And that's what they think about the gospel. The gospel is foolishness to those who do not believe. Why would you believe that someone died on a cross for your sins and paid the price and rose again the third day? That don't make any sense. But it does to us, because it's not the wisdom of this world. It's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and God's Word that we look at. Because I know it. Why? Because I got evidence. I can feel Him. I know Him down deep in my heart. Because I've got the joy. Oh, Vacation Bible School, y'all get ready. I've got the joy down in my heart. Where?
Down in my heart.
Are y'all sure? Down in my heart. Where?
Down in my heart.
Oh my goodness. Y'all got to work on this before June the 2nd. Y'all got to work on this, so y'all got to get better at this. You got to sing about the joy way down deep in my heart. Man, God has given us a great joy that is down in our hearts. And we need to love Him, and we need to love others around Him and around us. We need to exercise caution, you know, in our actions. Verses 4 through 8 talks about this, you know, awareness of the cultural context of this. Where they thought, you know, that, hey, we can't eat this meat that was given to idols or was sacrificed to idols because it has something within it. You know, it has something to do with that idol. And if we eat that, you know, it's like us worshiping the idol. And He's telling them that it is not. You know, God is the God and one and only God, the big G God. And the other gods, this thing is, this meat was sacrificed to, are nothing. There is no other God but God, O Lord Almighty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are to worship Him and Him alone. And there are none that are beside Him. There are none that even are below Him. That He is the King of Kings. That He is the one true God. And that meat that was offered to them idols is nothing compared to who God is. So we need to look at that within our own lives, you know. But there are people in culture, in cultural context, that they look at that as being bad. We know better, but they don't, because they have not been taught. They have been told that it is a sin to eat that. But we know better, but should we flaunt that and we should look at them and say, y'all are just ignorant. Y'all don't know that. And ignorant is without knowledge. So just think of that. So ignorance is without knowledge. So y'all have no knowledge of this. Y'all should be ashamed of yourself for not knowing this. That's not the way that you win someone to Christ. You do it through love. We understand the impact of the weaker believers within our lives. You know, they think in their mind that this is a sin. And if they do this, that they are sinning against a holy God. And folks, if we are here to tell them, if we do it in front of them and say, well, it's all right, then they're in their mind, without their knowledge, they are thinking, well, you're just sinning. We have to teach. But love. all at the same time. Understanding the impact that it will have upon people if we go and we start, and at this time, if they start eating food that is sacrificed to idols. And it may be something else in our life. It may be, you know, drinking alcohol. And, you know, we say, well, God's word doesn't say anything about just having a glass of wine, you know, here or there. God's word doesn't say anything about that. And actually, they drink wine in God's day all the time. They did that. You know, so what's wrong with it? And then the other person that is weaker vessel, they look at it and say, well, that's a sin. And then we go and do it in front of them. That becomes a sin for us because we are becoming a stumbling block to them. So what's the sin? Drinking it or becoming a stumbling block? And it's becoming a stumbling block. Do we want to become a stumbling block to someone that is around us, someone who is weaker, that does not know the difference yet? Because we have responsibility as Christians, and that's what we talked about this in the past. Who here likes responsibility? No one likes responsibility. You know, I don't want to answer to the no one, folks. We all answer to someone. We all answer to someone. Well, I'm my own boss. Well, you have to have someone that pays you. Maybe a customer, maybe another corporation, guess what? They're more or less your boss. They're paying you. You answer to them for what the job that you have done for them. So we have to make sure that we are responsible in our freedom. That we don't flaunt our freedom. We do not cause our freedom to be a stumbling block to others. Weighing our personal rights against communal wellness. Or what does my old saying? It may be, you may have the right, but that don't make it right. You may have a legal right, but that don't make it right to do it. They may have a legal right to have an abortion, but that don't make it. You may have a legal right to take some type of medications, to take some type of drugs, but that don't mean it's right. You may not get in legal trouble for treating someone badly, but that does not make it right. We need to make things right. We need to make sure that we are responsible for our actions, weighing our personal actions against the communal wellness or well-being of others around us. Do we understand, is it worth it? Is it worth it to do this, even though I have the freedom to do it? Is it worth it? Because it may cause this other person to stumble. And we have to weigh them within our lives. So in verse 4, it says, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there were many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, whether of whom all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with conscience of the idol or the idol, yet now eat it as a thing offered to an idol. And their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not command us to God. For neither if we eat are we better, nor if we do not eat, we are worse. But he telleth man that it does no good to use our freedom as a response or as an avenue to make someone else stumble. Because we can, don't mean that we should in our lives. And the last one, you know, is committing to care for one another in verses 9 through 13. Folks, and this is where it all comes down to, are we caring for one another? Are we looking at someone as better than we are? Or is we looking at someone as, man, I'm gonna do this for them. It's not about me, it's about others. And that's where it kind of all comes down to. If we're thinking of others more than we're thinking of ourselves, then we're going to do the right thing. Because committing to care for one another, you know, protecting the conscience of others, being mindful of how our actions affect others. And that's where we see people, and they say, well, my actions don't affect anyone. Your actions affect someone besides just you. The decisions that we make are affecting people around us. So we need to make sure that we are using our decisions to be in right standing with the Lord. Encouraging a culture of sensitivity and respect, we need to be sensitive to others around us. And we need to have unity in the body of Christ. Building a community that reflects Christ's love and sacrificing personal preferences for the sake of others. We want to grow together. We don't want to be divided. And that's the whole thing with Christ and becoming a part of his family, is that he wants us to come together. We can work better together than we can apart. So why would we want to use our freedom as an avenue to cause someone else to sin? Why would we want our freedom to cause someone else to stumble in their own lives because we think we know better, but we do nothing for them? Folks, we need to love one another. We need to make sure that we are caring for one another and that the Lord is working within our lives. And as I said earlier, you know, that we are in Christ. Not that we just know a lot about Christ, but that we know Christ. And that we have a relationship with him, and we treat others as we would want to be treated in our life. So what will you do with Jesus today? How are we living our lives on a daily basis that we would grow in him and that we would treat others fairly in our life? Let's all stand this morning as we have a time of invitation, and that the Holy Spirit would just work in our lives. And let's just know, because we have the freedom, don't mean that it is right that we would do things in our life around other people that would cause them to stumble. Lord, we just come before your throne room, Lord, just thanking you for all that you have done for us, Lord. Just help guide us, Lord, and direct us within our lives, Lord. And help us grow closer to you, Lord, that we would use our freedom, Lord, as an avenue to help others grow in you. Lord, not cause ourselves to be a stumbling block. Lord, just be with each and every person here today, Lord, and if they have a decision that they need to make, Lord, that they would make that decision today. Lord, if it's for salvation, Lord, before it's eternally too late. Lord, if it's just to grow closer to you and rededicate their lives, Lord, if they would do that today, Lord, and they would just draw close to you and to your word. We ask this in Jesus' name.